You've always had what it takes to make it happen, and we know the right tools can make it easier. At Strayer University, we're always thinking about new ways to set you up for success. That's why we give you a brand new laptop when you enroll in a bachelor's program, so you can start off on the right foot and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Eligibility rules, restrictions, and exclusions apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Favorite food hack. Fish, go.
If you squish a shrimp, they're yum.
Brandon.
You dip your salmon crostini inside some tahini, you get a salmon crostini.
Eric.
Make sure to butter both sides of French toast.
Amanda.
When you're assembling a taco for yourself, put the lettuce first. That way the stuff doesn't get the bottom of the shell soggy and it breaks.
Food hacks.
Also,
food hacks.
Just use a tortilla and don't make a taco.
Hard shell tacos are the worst food hacks.
Unless it's around a cheesy gordita crunch Taco Bell shell.
Those are delicious.
Then it's the worst for different reasons. Food hacks.
I had Taco Bell this week.
Yikes.
I had
Whoa.
Also.
Are you allowed?
Oh,
are you alive?
How are you doing?
It was a mistake.
Oh, wow. No.
Speaking of mistakes.
Listen, I thought shrimp was a really good way to get Alonzo to come with us, but he just
he
wasn't
resisted
there.
The call of the shrimps.
He did. I didn't think it could be done.
What does a shrimp call sound like? That is the correct answer, actually. That is
oh, my God.
You might think that was Amanda doing that, but no, Brandon just clicked.
I just held
just
up
Googled
a shrimp
and held
to the
it.
Microphone.
Yeah, Brandon found the shrimp and held to the microphone. That certainly wasn't Amanda doing a spot-on shrimp impression.
Some shrimp foley.
Remember when we taught people how to play Dungeons & Dragons during the after party?
What's Dungeons & Dragons?
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't
here's
know.
My theory, though. Bridge is Mercutio. Am I wrong?
Similar, yeah. It occupies a similar role, I would say.
Name from a patron?
Yeah, this is Bridge.
What up,
the
Bridge?
Very nice Bridge, who also edits Tides and is a big member of the audio drama community. We knew you back before you even edited anything.
I know.
And we're happy that you are a part of our Join the Party fam. Talking about Bridge the character, here are my notes for what I wrote for him.
Oh, good.
This is Shubes. Very cool. A good dude. Watches Bachelorette TV. A V-good boy.
Aw.
That's what I wrote as the character.
Also good hair.
Yeah, good hair as well.
Yeah.
Bridge with the good hair.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the chance to make friends with another woman who's here in Fidopolis. Just living. Just trying to get through the day. This happens all the time where you'll meet another queer person and be like, flirt, 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 flirt. Oh, no, we're going to be friends now. Like, that's how a friendship starts. So I appreciate that. Ella and me are friends.
I can't tell if she's disgruntled because of the position or what she's doing in life, or this is the personality.
Like,
no.
I think she is fucking cool, like, and no one
yeah.
understands her.
I'm going to be honest, Johnny. Like, Johnny? She's cool. Yeah, I'm talking to your character right now.
Oh, okay.
She's cool. You just had a weird interaction with her. I want to be her friend.
She's in my character. She's this friend.
She is.
Question mark. She's always been in the character she this friend.
She's not disgruntled. I think that you can imagine that in Kiko Castle, not many people use the library. That was always my assumption. There's like people who have specialties, so like James shows up all the time, but she's kind of lonely in there, so she amuses herself. So she's disgruntled as a person, not because her job. She loves being a librarian.
Okay.
But like she likes fucking with people.
That's what I meant to ask. Is it the problem was being the librarian, or was that's just who she is? It's who she is. That was the question. I have the answer, and thus the after party continues.
Yeah.
Tune in as we come back from this commercial break.
I was not ready to pull an old character out of my pocket. I'm worried that, like, I just hope that my voices are not running together.
I really appreciate it, though, because I was like, I'm leaving. And I'm glad that I was able to go explore different parts of Kiku Castle, which I have not been able to do yet.
Yeah.
So I have a question.
Okay.
Religions are running headfirst into each other at this point.
Yeah.
So the speaker is a god, demigod?
The speaker is an Azamar. Azamar, which is like half god. Yeah, I guess close to demigod.
Speak really calmly and help you to feel just really at peace and grounded in your own
No, that's
body.
ASMR.
Oh,
that's
damn.
Different.
Damn.
Oh, that she's not that?
She is. So I guess the ASMR.
Yeah, I think turning purple and yelling is the opposite of ASMR.
That's my ASMR.
What do y'all do? The ASMR are, and I think I must have talked about this when we first met the speaker, but the ASMR are demigods, but with like a fantasy bent to it. They have like a literal piece, a celestial piece inside them.
Well, I want to know more about like her role and her stature within like this religion.
Yeah, because sure. We had a little bit of table talk during the game when I was asking about Chronopolis to say, like, wouldn't the speaker know this? Like, what does and doesn't she know about the, like, day-to-day goings-on in the city-states? But clearly, by the end of the episode, we figure out that, you know, this is kind of happening under the radar, or at least not to her knowledge, until things got kind of too bad and need a real intervention.
I think there's a balance going on here. Like, she knows everything to an extent. I'm trying to think if there's any sort of parallel, because it feels really clear in my head.
In my head, she's sort of the CEO of a massive company, but there are also board seats. So she can sort of be outvoted by like a majority of the board or whatever, you know what I mean?
And the board is the representatives, and that's why I was referencing, in my head, it's actually very similar, if not the same, because in my head, I'm thinking there has to be a chairman or someone that's giving this CEO power, because the speaker is that, a speaker. And ostensibly, divine right is the kind of ultimate form of government in these places, even though there can be elections. So the divine right is given through the speaker to give these representatives the power over their city states. That center is Concentra. But that doesn't make the speaker the ultimate like chain of command, like higher up person or ultimate in charge of everything, because if not, things wouldn't have gone so disastrously for our team so far.
I think what we've learned is that one person can't do it all. So she
well,
knows a lot.
She's so stressed, and I'm just trying. Johnny's just trying to like give her a night where she just calm down. We can talk some friendly things about religion.
Oh, no.
We can talk about meditation. Oops. Swap stories of like dealing with stress.
Candlelight, sitting close to each other.
I'm not.
Maybe
I'm not
one
attempting.
Hand slips on top of the other hand, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
A knee
basically,
touches a knee.
A knee touches a knee.
Just trying to help
an elbow
a fellow religious.
An elbow.
And that's all.
Trying to help a fellow religious person who's going through some tough times.
The role of speaker and ASMR, I guess, is passed down from ASMR to ASMR. They live for a pretty long time. So it's like she is, in fact, the chairman of the board, which is all of the representatives. Mm-hmm. I think it's closer to that. She knows as much as she can in the way, I guess the best way to think about the American government, and I don't know if we have some problems with the American government, but when you think about just like a government that has to collect information and like they go off the information that they have, but at the same time, she's not going to get involved with every single thing that's a problem. Like these city states are independent, but like they're a confederacy of states that lean on Concentra and the speaker and like the larger powers that be when they have a very, very large problem.
So then we'll probably have to discover this in game, but like I'm super curious about how these three gods, now that they're sort of less ethereal and more tangible, or at least pieces of them are, how does the speaker fit into that three trinity and then Johnny's lantern? Also, hey, you have a piece of your god in your lantern.
No, I know that.
I wonder what proximity to the compass is going to do to your lantern.
The way I've been thinking about religion, and I've sometimes talked about Eric with this, is that with D&D, when you have religions and gods, like people have different relationships with them, and this is interesting to have a system of government that's very connected with and very almost inextricably linked with their religion. Because normally that's not the government's role. That's like the religious corners or sects that live within the and alongside the government, or even clerics,
right?
Like the speaker, who derive their power from their god.
Yeah. When we learned about the centering, my kind of read of that whole situation was that the Trinity was kind of decided upon. That's how it sounded to me. It's like there were lots of things happening before we decided to come together, and the most stable and like broadly appealing version of whatever religious life was like beforehand is the one that we have now. And so to me, it's almost like Church of England style. Like, yes, we're talking about Labour Party, so, you know, maybe there are some comparisons to be drawn. But Church of England is like, yes, it's religious, but it's also political. And yes, it's sanctioned by the government, but also it's separate from the government.
Yeah.
So if I were somebody growing up in the concentric states, my wonder would be, like, how tangible are these gods? Like, are they a presence? Are they personalities? Are they a story? Are they a metaphor? You know, it feels like we don't have a lot of really tangible links or experiences yet.
And the thing is, that's like the normal D&D experience, though, right? Because unless you're a warlock who's associated with some deity,
divinity,
or,
yeah,
or a cleric or a paladin,
and even then you just channel it. You don't like necessarily communicate, right, unless you're
but
channeling
but
divine.
The fact that you have a power would suggest there, right, is some sort of divinity there. The fact that the concentric states are basically divine righted by these trinity would suggest that either because of the centering these gods were created, these gods existed beforehand and they just picked three of the many gods that could have happened, or they don't exist and the speaker is speaking on behalf of other deities that exist. Just as the Undying Light and the Undying Shadow in the Player's Guide, it shows that it's beyond the planes that even the gods are. So, like, right, it is divinity, but it's a different kind of divinity in that it's enveloping a lot more.
I drew this little chart here. And you can see, and I'll pass it around, but it's basically like there is a triangle in the middle, which is Devar, Ataman, Zeol, which is the Trinity. And then the circle around it, both like there is a positive plane and a negative plane, which is kind of what we're getting at here, is that the Undying Light is the entity of the positive plane and the shadow is from the negative plane. And it's not that they are not inherently good or evil.
Right.
It's just positive and negative.
It looks
like electrical charges.
Right. It's life and death. Like, that's why you need the balance. And that's the whole conceit of Johnny's religion. Sign up now. Call this number. You know, donate as much as you can for reasons that will help the religion, I'm sure, and not my new obsession with buying cars.
It looks like, for the listeners, it looks like if you're looking at the front of a Pokeball, but instead of the circle button, it's a triangle. And then at the top of the Pokeball, there's the Undying Light. At the bottom of the Pokeball, there's a shadow.
But the triangle is much bigger than the button of a Pokeball.
Sure.
Yes. Draw a circle. Draw a triangle inside the circle. Draw a line dividing the circle in half, but it doesn't divide the triangle in half. Boom, there you go.
Yeah. And then go catch
Mewtwo.
This is
an audio medium. We're doing really well.
This is also to say that Devar, Adama, and Zeol are not, like, they're not good or evil. They are not positive or negative. They are just, like, the forces that the people of the concentric states in this major religion, this is what they believe control everything.
Yeah, right? And like any of them can deal in any of those forces.
Like we found out today, Zeol has dominion over time, even though previously we have heard that it's only death.
How do you guys feel about going on an adventure with the speaker?
Well, I feel bad for her. To be very honest, I feel a little bad for her.
Or
like,
is she going to be like your band director who on your annual trip to Virginia Beach gets wild?
I just feel bad because, you know, she has a lot to deal with and she had put a lot of faith in Alonzo. We all did. We want Alonzo to be better. I personally, and Giant disagrees with just leaving him there. I think Inara does
too. Me too, yeah.
I'm not sure Tracy cares.
I don't. Tracy doesn't want to be his keeper anymore, but I don't think like it's the right decision to just let him like wallow. Like as a way of fixing his issues and problems, it's not going to work.
But I will say it makes sense that this is the decision she's made because she's like frustrated that every time Alonzo leaves, something happens.
Yeah, he can get into a lot less trouble at home than he can in a new city.
He ran off last time. I don't think this time's going to be any different.
I don't know, but I mean, at this point, I was kind of surprised by how firmly aligned with him in our fields. I mean, it makes sense if you want to like just think about the psychology of their situations for like 25 seconds. But I want to go to Greg and kind of take him by the front of his shirt and say like, what is going on here? Can we fix this?
Oh my God, guys, we buried the lead. They broke up? What?
Yeah.
No, I'm assuming people are making assumptions just because Greg left the city.
Or is Greg telling people that they broke up?
I don't know. I mean, I see how he could be doing that in order to get Alonzo to come find him and like face this.
Or just being dramatic or something, you know?
I don't know.
If there's anything we know about Greg, he's definitely not dramatic.
I like that the three of us are basically, each of us are interested in a different aspect of Alonzo. Amanda and Inara are, it seems, are a lot more focused on the relationship. Johnny, Michael are a lot more focused on his responsibility. And Tracy, Brandon want him to become an independent person who doesn't
want to be someone who's happy with himself and
like fully realized as a person, which is also why we have such different thoughts on how to handle Alonzo, but we can all agree that I don't know what we can all agree on.
Food hacks. That's what we
food hacks. Take out the line on the scrimps because that is the intestine.
Cut a hole in your bread, fry an egg in it. You got a whole tot. What is it? A frog in a hole?
No, let them figure it out.
Toad in the hole. That's what it's called.
I did not know
toad
that.
Toad on a log.
Toad on a log.
Log in a marsh.
Log in a
marsh in a forest. Will the wisp in the marsh. What?
I'm following
dead.
You. Oh no! We're both dead.
I think it's interesting that you guys have these really complex feelings about Alonzo, but sometimes they get expressed like, man, fuck that guy.
What you did in real life, though.
Yeah. That was something that I've been thinking about a lot is like, I think exactly as Fish just pointed out, each of us have something that we care so deeply. I mean, this reminds me of my own siblings. Like, you are the maddest at them because you love them the most. Like, I would often say when my siblings got me really mad, like, I would jump in front of a bus for you, but I would not sit next to you on a bus if you paid me. And so I think each of us as players and our characters, you know, something about his quirks, his deficiencies, his, like, hot spots map with us individually in a way that make us just react so strongly to him. But clearly we care about him. Like, you know, it's never been clearer to me that Inara would and has done anything for him. And I really want to see him succeed. But maybe Alonzo's dad thought, like, you got married, you're a man, like, you're starting your family, you're, you know, branching out on your own and, like, becoming your own person, and you've wanted independence for so long, and, like, okay, like, do it, you know, kind of like pushing the fledgling out of the nest a little bit. But it's so hard when you have a sibling, a kid, you know, friend, whatever, who, you know, need to stand on their own. Like, do you let them fall over and over again? Do you swoop in and pick them up every time they stumble? Or, like, it's so hard to kind of judge what the person needs and what, like, the happy medium is.
This also makes me wonder, why is the speaker at the Kiko Castle, even when Alonzo isn't there? Like, and not at Concentra?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a good question.
Also, she's a Super Saiyan?
Yeah, the speaker is a very, very high level cleric. And the reason why Alonzo probably won't break out is because she casts a spell called Planar Ally. And Planar Ally says that you beseech an otherworldly entity for aid. The being must be known to you, a god, a primordial, a demon prince, or some other being of cosmic power.
You know, just demon princes.
That entity sends a celestial, an elemental, or a fiend loyal to you to aid it, making the creature appear in an unoccupied space with range. If you know a specific creature's name, you can speak that name, blah, blah, blah.
Well, this unicorn's name is Scrimps, so that's all I have to know.
I literally imagine just Alonzo escaping on top of this unicorn now.
Like, I pictured Scrimps in wellies, so congratulations. I now picture all quadrupedal creatures with shoes
with
on.
With shoes, very good.
And now for some questions from our listeners.
This is from Sky the Goose Lord. I was curious about this and wasn't sure if it was asked before, but what would have happened if Inara failed that dex check when the hooded assassin guild person threw marbles at her? Would she have not been considered ready for the guild? Amanda, what do you think?
I feel like that's more of a question for you, but I don't know. Maybe there would have been another trial, you know, like another kind of pass or fail test, and certainly would have made things more challenging when Autumn showed up, if Inara had no proof that this was something that she'd encountered before.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's a big if, but I had an idea of what would happen if you totally just, like, spilled all of them. I think you would have had a lot harder time, like, dealing with this whole assassin thing.
Yeah.
Because this has kind of been in the background, and they're like, oh, yeah, new recruit, whatever.
But I haven't, messed anything up royally yet.
Exactly. The only thing that's been happening is that, like, Johnny keeps trying to be friends with the Assassin's Guild.
I think that's what would have happened.
Why would I want to be friends if I... Why would I want that when I already am? Like, you know?
This one's a question for me, but I think that everyone can throw stuff in for this. This is from Gordita Lives, who is also known as Jordan.
Gordita Lives?
Gordita.
That's delicious. Okay.
I'm so hungry.
I'm so hungry.
As a DM, have you ever had times where players left loose ends that came back to haunt them? Do you think it might happen in this campaign? The short answer is yes.
Greg.
All we do is, that's.
You guys breeze into town and you're like, pew, pew, pew. Meh, no consequences. And then you leave and
Flirt,
go somewhere else.
Wink, flip day, bye.
I don't see any problems with that. I don't know.
You're right. Tracy has never done anything that had consequences.
No, never. I've never had to answer for anything. Fish, do you have any campaign stories like that?
I can think of regrets I personally have as a DM, like letting a character use a whip to heal. Like,
oh,
it was a joke.
I have one that I never got to pull on, but there was this campaign that I used to play with Amanda and Julia Schaffini from Spirits and Eric Schneider and Julia's fiance. Julia had this relationship with, she used a bag of tricks and it got a panther. And then she got really like close with the panther because like a god got generated from Ko'atoa. It was this whole thing. Basically, she had this really emotional moment with the panther because after 24 hours, the bag of tricks animal goes away. And she gets pulled in her head by like this panther god that got created, like half god, half displacer beast. And she was also a horizon walker. So it would have been like a whole extra planar thing. So what I really wanted to do, I wanted to keep pulling her and see if I could get her corrupted by this god. And we just stopped playing. And I'm upset that I never got to really pull on that thread.
I have one actually. My favorite thing to do in campaigns is to like have a theme that I sort of just like bash you over the head with, but like turns out to have a fun ending. So like one of the campaigns I did, like the end goal, which we never got to, was is it druids that can summon things? Something, some creature, some class, whatever, can summon things from like the underworld, basically like hell. And there's this big dead dragon thing that they were gonna have like tied up in an arena, and they were gonna meet them. That was gonna be like a big turning point in the story. So I sort of like from episode one started like planting little dragons throughout the campaign. So like the first thing, like they would find scales somewhere, or like, and then one person got a little dragon and then a mini dragon familiar, and then like they went into a town and there was a guy, it was necromancers, that's what it is.
There it is.
Necromancers. So one of the guys that works for the like assistant of some of the necromancers would like was dressed up in like a big dragon foam costume and like was handing out flyers. So like I like to add these like those little details of like what your upcoming campaign thing is going to be like. That's always fun.
I got another one. Again, as a DM, and it was, again, a mistake on my part. This was not a, like, good group of people, character-wise, you know, good, evil, lawful, neutral, whatever. And they had to, like, find a shady person, part of the underworld of a specific town, to get some information. And then when they return after, like, whatever thing they were doing, they decide they want to take over all the illicit activities of the city. So they did. And I kind of had to build gameplay around that.
So like they ran like the drug mob rings and stuff?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. So wow. I quit that campaign for you.
No, it was great. It was actually a lot of fun because they had to figure out how to, you know, it turned into like a completely different game. It turned into like this weird crime thing, but they were the bad guys. I don't know. It was fun.
I would love that. Like I love that kind of underground, like figuring out how to get the things that you need, and especially like in a corrupt society, you know, like if the you know services were such that yeah, kind of do your own thing. I find that to be really, really fun. The sort of like logistics of crime is fascinating to me.
There's a lot of logistics.
Yeah, that's what Blades in the Dark is for. That's what we should play that game. It's all about
heists.
Really
fun.
Yeah, we definitely need to play.
Or if people have media that they love, books, movies, TV shows, etc., along those lines, like please hit a girl up.
I know this is a little off track, but I really want to play a horror game. I hate horror movies, but like I kind of love the tension of being in it.
I think it's hard to pull off, to be honest, like in a good way. Like it's so rewarding when you can get a horror game going that like feels good, and it's hard to do though.
Yeah, so 13 Candles, I really want to try again. We played with Fish once, and I really want to play Dread, which is the one with the Jenga.
Yeah.
With the Jenga system, which I freaking love.
We should do it.
Yeah.
There's a Shia LaBeouf. Do you remember that song, the Shia LaBeouf song? So someone on Reddit, a hero, made an RPG system based off of that song. And I've had it bookmarked forever, and I've always wanted to run it. And the rules are crazy. It's a lot of tension. You only get, like, one item. Shia has, like, multiple lives. The mechanics are brilliant, and it would really work. One of the things I like about horror is when horror has like funny moments, because you need that kind of tension cutting, because everything
like Get Out.
Yeah, like it can't all just be jump scares, because otherwise it's not good. Cabin in the Woods I really liked, for instance.
Yeah, and it's interesting for horror because a lot of the tension and suspense you get from horror are based on the sounds.
Yeah.
Like there's that new movie that's all silent with John Krasinski. Jump scares, they're not scary unless you have the string hit behind them. Yeah. So like figuring that out in the real world is really hard to do, but when you do it, it's so satisfying.
Yeah, so 13 Candles was fun for me because you had that kind of real like sensory and atmospheric element, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, you just gotta keep it intimate.
And you knew that like at the end you were going to die anyway. So it was
right.
all about
which, like,
the
as
journey.
A player, makes me really relieved.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I like the Jenga one, because there's inherent tension in Jenga. Yeah. And then it's like you put that on top of the horror movie you are living in.
Jenga's already a scary game.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
All right. This one is also for Fish. This is from Artemis. Hey, what's Johnny's opinion on black lights?
Well, Johnny has.
Is this your goal vision, where everything you're moving towards is just a black light? Because it's both dark and light.
I guess that is the solution. Johnny's done. We can back it up.
Artemis solved it.
Johnny will invent a black light, and that will be the ultimate combination of darkness and light. Or red lights for like photography studios.
You don't have to put on that red light, Roxanne. Wait, I have a question. Hey, why do you think it's called Labor Party?
I literally don't have
anything. I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I don't know. I pictured parliamentary debates, so if there are going to be a bunch of representatives yelling at each other, sounds fun.
Why do you think it's called Labor Party?
Well, I actually know why it's called Labor Party.
Do you want to tell us?
No!
Okay.
This is a fun discussion.
Fun question for us to have.
We will ponder it, and once henceforth we have an answer, we will verily entreat upon you a seat at the table
together. In a British accent?
And verily, we shall entreat upon you to have a seat at the table with us henceforth to discuss matters concerning the naming of this ark. So we share with you the ideas and theories of what this could possibly be.
Very good.
We just need more voice work from Fish, really. Yeah.
Truly, because he does not like the voice that he had for Johnny and wishes it were something different. Like the old man voice. Or Southern Johnny.
Thank you very much for joining us in this first after party of our new arc. So exciting. So please leave us your theories, your questions, either in our Discord, which is the most popping place on the internet. It's where all of the patrons for Join the Party hang out, trade theories, trade photos, where we pull all of our NPC names from. That's at patreon.com/jointhepartypod. Or talk to us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Tumblr. We're at Join the Party Pod in all the places. And if you have a friend that you think would love the show, this is the perfect time to share the show with them. It's a new arc, new me. We have recaps of all the previous arcs, so if they don't want to listen to all the episodes, no shade, that's cool. They can just listen to our very short plot summaries at jointhepartypod.com/recap. So share that link, tells you how to listen to the show, tells you where to start, and recruit more listeners to the cause. All right, without further ado, no, that's how I end spirits. All right.
Do it. Meld the shows. Meld the shows.
Multiverse.
Join the spirits.
Multitudiverse. Cool. Well, I think that's pretty much it for this after party. Anybody have wisdom to leave our listeners with?
Food hack. Don't store your bread in the fridge. It'll go stale. Store it in the freezer.
Food hack. Don't let your ice get smelly.
Food hack. You can make your own chipwiches at home with a Ben and Jerry's pint and those really soft cookies from Pepperidge Farm.
Food hack. If you only have one appliance, make it a toaster oven. They can do more things than any other appliance.
Snaps.
It's a good one.
Bye, guys.
Undying light be with you.
See you later.